Well, Easter is just around the corner, so this week I'm starting my first talk about the Easter story. This one is called Thirsty. And there's a scripture in John 19, verse 28, while Jesus was hanging on the cross, and it says this: Jesus said, "I am thirsty." I'm quite sure he was a few more things than just thirsty. But while he was going through that dying process, a thirst, a physical thirst came on him. So he was physically thirsty when he was dying. But there's some people in the world today are still physically thirsty. You know, if you're part of a charity like Tear Fund or anything like that, then they'll tell you that they're digging a well in a village because the people don't have any clean water. They're thirsty. So we still have, appallingly, people in the world today that cannot get clean water and they're physically thirsty. But even more than that, there are millions of people today who are emotionally and spiritually thirsty. There's a thirst on the inside of all of us that only God can quench. And if they're not taking their needs to God or they don't have a relationship with God, they will be so dry and thirsty on the inside. There's a thirst in all of us. Only God has life-giving water that can fill us and meet every need. I don't know if you can remember back to before you were a Christian, there was always this emptiness on the inside, a space on the inside of you that you needed to fill, and you weren't quite sure how to fill that. Even as a child growing up, it was that Sunday night feeling, you know, of emptiness on the inside because you had school the next day. And then when you grew up, it was that feeling because you had work the next day, you know. And that emptiness that only God can fill. People spend thousands, probably millions of pounds trying to fill their emptiness, but they're looking for the right answer in the wrong places. They look in drink or drugs or nights out on the town. They look in fame and fortune and constant holidays and needing to get away from life. They look in the wrong relationships. You know, it's an endless list. So let me save you time and money. None of these will satisfy because none of them are permanent. Even if they numb the pain on the inside for a while, it doesn't last. It always wears off. The only one who can truly quench your thirst is the living God. He's the only one that brings life. When God's Holy Spirit is in you, there's a continual flow of life coming right from the center of our being. It's ours for the asking. So my question is, have you asked for it? I'm sure most of us have. We've asked God to come in. We've asked for his Spirit to be in our lives. John 7 and verse 38 says this: "He that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Not just a trickle, not just even one river, but just, I imagine, this torrent. You know, I don't know if you've been to Niagara Falls, but you stand at the side of this river, and oh my goodness, the power of the water. You can hear it. You can hear it from a distance away, the volume of water and the power that's in that water, because it's a torrent of life. And that's what happens when God comes to live on the inside of us. God has rivers of living water for those that believe in him. And when we ask Jesus into our life, he fills us on the inside. I always picture it as being just this well shape on the inside, right at the center of your diaphragm, just to the side of your heart, because there's a space there, even physically. You know, there's this physical space, and I picture this well there, and it's where you feel that emptiness, that gnawing feeling of something's not right. I don't feel good today in my emotions. It's right here on the inside. And when you say, "God, Lord Jesus, please come into my life," he comes like a torrent of living water, and he resides in this well on the inside of our very being, right on the inside, and he fills us up from the inside by his Spirit, and he promises, "I will never leave you. I'll never leave you. I will always be on the inside because you've invited me in." A space that was previously empty in our lives is now filled with Jesus and life, and he never leaves. He promises to always be with us. But do you know what? Life happens and things come against us and we have worries and anxieties and we have situations at work or in relationships, wherever we are, and we begin to feel dry on the inside. We lose that joy and we lose our peace and we start to feel thirsty again when the things of life come against us. And that's when we need to ask God to fill us afresh. He's never left. He's in there, but we are the ones that need to bring it to the top and let it overflow, because we're meant to live in that place of the overflow of the presence of God, not just leaving it lying dormant. We better not disturb things. He's there and he's not going to leave, but we need to let it come out, a fresh infill of joy, of peace, of knowing that God loves us. You know, sometimes I'm like the rest of us, and we're all the same. I can feel thirsty and I can feel empty on the inside. And I know when I'm feeling empty that I need to start getting closer to God. So I might start to worship him. I might read my Bible and find a scripture that I can stand on for the day and think, that's the one for me. I'm going to repeat that scripture today. And as soon as we touch God, as soon as we touch base with him, we start to feel stronger. Our thirst starts to feel quenched. You know, we read the word, we start to worship, we speak in tongues. Any of these things will build us up. Any of these things is touching the hem of his garment. Any of these things is taking the Lord by the hand and saying, I think I'll let go for a wee while, but I want to take you by the hand again and walk with you, because he's never moved. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4 says this: he who prays in tongues edifies himself. That means you build yourself up. It's like going to the spiritual gym. Any of these things, worshiping God, reading your Bible, speaking in tongues, is going to the gym with God and building yourselves up on the inside. Speaking in tongues allows the Holy Spirit to flow like a river of living water. Reading the word and standing on a scripture allows that river to flow. It's welling up on the inside and it's flowing over the top of that well. The Holy Spirit is always in us, but we need to stir him up. We need to be the one that stands there and says, I'm going to open my mouth and speak that scripture or sing that song and let the power of God overflow. We're the ones that need to put our hand out and say, I want to take your hand, Lord, because his hand is always there waiting for us. He's just waiting for us to reach out to him. So I've got a prophetic word for us today, and it's this. God is saying, I've always got more for you, but it's up to you to let it flow. It's up to us. We need to open our mouth and we need to let it flow out. Even if it's just a gentle whisper in our quiet time with God, just saying, I love you, Lord. That's enough to open the floodgates and let the presence of God flow out. God's Spirit is always in us, but it's up to us to live in the place of the overflow. When I was preparing this, I had a vision of a well, or an actual well where you could put the bucket down, and a person sitting beside the well, just sitting on the grass, leaning against the well, arms folded, you know, but they weren't drinking. They were right beside the well, but they were not drinking. So I want us to note this, that it is possible to sit beside the answer to your problem and die of thirst because we're not partaking. We're not worshiping him. We're not reading the word. We're not reaching out. We're not letting it flow in our lives. We're thinking, I've not had a quiet time for 3 days. Now, you might not notice the difference immediately, but eventually you will. So we are the ones that need to reach out, and we are the only ones that can open our Bible or search on our phone and find that scripture. No one can do it for us. I heard a joke about a man who had lots and lots of debt. And he came to God in prayer, and he's just praying, oh God, please help me win the lottery. It's £8 million this weekend, you know, please let me win the lottery. So he just keeps begging God, please, please, could I win the lottery? And he hears God speak to him in his head, and God says to him, help me out here, buy a ticket. There's no point in praying to win the lottery if you haven't bought a ticket. Now, please don't go home and tell anyone that their Fermin Elam is telling you to gamble and buy lottery tickets, okay? It's just a joke. And we laugh at that, but they had to do their part. And sometimes we're waiting on God to move and saying, God, I'm so down, I'm so depressed, I'm so whatever, I'm so worried, and whatever the situation is, but we're not doing our part. We're not opening the Bible. We're not finding God's word. We're not worshiping him. We're not speaking in tongues over the problem. Whatever tool, whatever weapon in God we decide to use, they're all good weapons. We can use any of them or all of them. But we're the ones that need to move sometimes. We find ourselves repeating the negatives and not speaking out what God would say about the situation, not speaking out the scriptures from his word. Sometimes we're not even sure that God has heard us. We're too busy saying, Lord, hear our prayers. I beg you to hear my prayer. We're not even sure he's heard, and we're certainly not sure that he's answering it. And that's why we're still thirsty. That's why rivers of living water are not flowing out of our belly, because we're not seeking it. You know, some people go to church their whole life but never get to know God. They listen to stories about God but never ask him to be their God. They don't sit beside a well that God has provided and die of thirst. And the well is the Holy Spirit. However you touch it, whether it's in singing songs, whether it's just chatting to him in prayer, whether it's reading the word, however you do it. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. We need to do the fanning. No one else can do that. My revelation is we activate the things of God when we speak the things of God. Whether it's through a scripture or whether it's through a song or any way that you want to do that. But we need to fan into flame all of the things that God's given us. John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus describes himself as this. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, whoever believes in me, they're not ever going to be thirsty. You're not going to be dry on the inside and empty and hollow. It's that simple. All we have to do is believe in Jesus, and our thirst will be quenched. But it's a daily thing. Every day things can come against us. Every day you can feel dried out. So every day we need to press into him. And there's another promise in that scripture too. It says, not only will you not be thirsty, you won't be hungry either, because I'm the bread of life. He's saying, I'm all the food you will ever need. You won't find the answers anywhere else but in trusting me, but in standing on my word and believing the promises that I've given you. You can get all your nourishment and strength from me, God is saying. So coming to God, drinking in his truth, believing what he's done for us, believing the promises in his word, means that we won't ever be hungry or thirst again. And that is an amazing promise. So I don't know what's come against any of us this week, but if something has come against you, get into the word. Get into worshiping God. Start just chatting to God about it and believing what he's promised. Look at your situation and say, well, what's God promised me to come against this situation? What's a promise I can stand on? And find that in your word. So if you're hungry or thirsty today, are you feeling dry or far from God on the inside? Because if we're far from God, he is not the one that's moved. If I'm far from God, it's me that's not moved. It's me that's been steamrolled by the situation, and I need to go to God with it, because he's there all the time. He is the constant. The Bible says he's there yesterday, today, and forever. He is our bread and water, our source of life and joy and peace and strength that all comes from him. So if we haven't read the Bible or spoken to him lately, a dryness will creep in, and that makes us thirsty. And then if we leave the thirst and we don't water it with God's word or whatever, the thirst grows into a drought, and nothing grows in a drought. The soil dries and cracks and things begin to die. And I've been there, and I'm sure you have as well. So I want us to know we start to die on the inside before we'll actually notice it on the outside. We're still going about our daily lives. We're still functioning and managing everything. But then all of a sudden, we might realize there's a heaviness or a depression on us. And it's because we haven't been in his life-giving word. You know, first our peace goes, once our peace of mind goes, our joy goes. And when peace and joy go, then fear and anxiety come in about the situation that we're facing. And soon every area of our life is dry. And we can get a bit grumpy when that happens. I was out walking recently, and I saw this tree that had been blown down by all the strong winds that we had a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't realize, I walked past it to begin with, thinking it was just a bush. And then when I looked back, I saw it was actually a tree. So this tree is lying the whole length, a good several meters long. And the end with all the leaves was green and lush, and it was all buds were coming. This tree had been ready to burst into spring bloom, you know. But the other end was cut off from the roots. It was dead. So the whole tree just gone snap like that in the wind. All the roots were exposed. So this tree still looked alive. It still had leaves and it still had buds, but it was going to die soon because the roots were gone. That's like us if we're cut off from God. On the outside, everything can look good, everything can look fine. But if we're cut off from God on a daily basis, we will start to die from the roots up. I've even heard of people that have worldwide ministries, massive ministries, and they come to a realization that actually they've just been focusing on the ministry and the work and not on their personal relationship with the Lord, because that cuts you off from your roots. So no matter how long we've been a Christian or how big and important our ministry is, we need to stay connected to the one that's the bread of life and the one that gives the water of life. So our relationship with God is a bit like that tree. We need to spend time with God. We need to listen to him more, because the more time we spend with him, the more our thirst will be quenched. And that living water on the inside of the well rises up, rises up, rises up, and then it overflows in joy and in love and in peace and all of the good things that God wants to give us. And our thirst is quenched. Isaiah 49 and verse 10 says this: "They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water." Now, this is a description of people in a desert. They were in a dry and thirsty place. So does that describe your situation or your week? It's just you just feel like you're wandering around lost in a desert and you can't find the answer to your problem. Maybe that's been your week, maybe that's been your year so far, and we're only in March, okay, and we've had a dry desert experience. But if that's the case, don't give up, because it also says God has compassion and he will lead us to a place with springs of living water. So no matter what we're going through, there's always life in God. We can always find the living water. God will lead us to the living water even in the middle of a desert. He wants to lead us to his well so we can drink from him. Sometimes other people will never meet our needs. No matter what they're supposed to do for us, what kind of relationship we're in with them, and we have higher expectations of people that we're in a close relationship with, but they will never meet all of our needs. Only God can do that. He wants to lead us to his well so we can drink from him. So my revelation from that is his job is to lead us to him, but our job is to drink. Because God could say, come closer, until the cows come home. But if we don't do anything about it, then we're never going to get closer. He can't do that part for us. We need to do that part. So he leads us and he calls us, but we need to actually do the drinking. I want to encourage you just to say that no situation is so dry that God can't bring life to it. You know, when we lived in Australia, you'd have these dry seasons, and you'd also have a bit of a wet season as well when the rivers would flood and everything. But you'd have these dry seasons, and there would be hose bans and water bans, and you weren't allowed to water your garden. You'd look outside at your grass going browner and browner and browner till finally it turns black. You've got patches of the size of a football all over your lawn that are burnt black with the sun. So it absolutely looks as if it's completely ruined. You think, when this hose ban ever ends and we start to water again, this grass is ruined. We're going to have to re-turf it. But the minute you're allowed to water it again, or the minute the rain starts, that grass just comes right back. it just starts to grow again. It starts to go lush and green, and your garden looks fantastic again because the rain has come. It's been watered. So no matter how dry our situation in our lives, the minute the water, the life-giving water of God touches it, we can burst into life. I know there's been situations that I've walked through and you've just felt so dry and you've just felt you've not been able to hear from God, and then you push in and you push through and you get one scripture. Sometimes it's only 3 words, 5 words. It's just a phrase, half a sentence, and you think, that's it, I've got it. I can stand on this. I can get through to the end of this week on this scripture. And you can keep going because you've heard from God something that's brought life to you. So I've got a prophetic word for someone here today, and it's this. God wants to say, it's not over yet. I have more. I've got more for you. I've got more for you to do. God's got more life for us, but we need to seek him for the more. You know, it's no point in putting a wee sticker on your fridge saying God's got more and never opening your Bible to find out what that more is. Never having a conversation with God to find out what the more is. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We need to seek God first. He's the first port of call, not anybody else. Not the boss, not the bank manager, not your best friend, God. Seek him first, and then he'll give you the answer to everything else. Thirsty people can be desperate. They look for answers everywhere and anywhere, but looking in the wrong place won't give you the right answer. Only God has the right answers, and that's why he tells us to seek him first. Putting God first will save us a whole lot of time and frustration and disappointment. I remember seeing this on a card once. I think it was an anniversary card I was looking for. And it said this on the card: if I could change anything, I'd meet you sooner so I could love you longer. If I could change anything in my life, I wish I'd met God sooner so I could love him longer. I wish I knew what I knew now 50 years ago, and maybe some people in my life wouldn't have died because I'd know how to pray for them. I'd know how to pray for healing. I'd know how to reach out and touch them. Folks, the only time that we've got the opportunities that we have today is today. This is the day to love God more. This is the day to reach out and believe that he's got a good plan for our lives. Everything that we've learned, it just in my journey with God, it just happens one day at a time. There's not ever been a great big download moment of, here you go, Sandra, here's 20 years of learning in 10 minutes. You know, it's learn it slowly, one step at a time. The more we push into God, the stronger our relationship will be. So don't wait any longer to meet God. Ask him to quench your thirst today. I just want to finish with a story about the woman at the well. Everybody knows the story about the woman at the well. Okay, the woman was a Samaritan, so that was the first problem. Jews were not meant to speak to Samaritans because Samaritans were second-class citizens. And Jesus wasn't meant to talk to this woman on her own. Didn't have any permission from her husband or anything like that. So as a Jewish man, he wasn't supposed to be talking to a woman, but he certainly wasn't supposed to be talking to a Samaritan. But this woman, it was just amazing. Jesus was a busy man. He was a busy, busy man. Thousands, multitudes came to him. But on this particular day, he decided, I'm going to meet with one woman. Jesus knew exactly where she was going to be. Said to all his disciples, you go down into the town. You buy, you know, get us some nice fish suppers for tea. Off you go. You buy the provisions. But I'm going to wait here because I know who's going to come along that road. And he waits there for this one woman, a one woman who was second class, one woman who the Jewish people wouldn't have spoken to. And he knows her life story. He's never met her before in the physical, but he knows everything about her. And he says to her, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now, you're not married to, man number 6. You've never married him. This woman was clearly looking for answers. She was thirsty. She'd gone through six men looking for the answers of someone who is going to love me, who's going to meet my needs, you know? And she couldn't find it there. And Jesus didn't judge her one iota for her past. I want you to hear that today. Jesus did not judge her for her past. Jesus did not judge anyone for their past. He wasn't interested in their past as much as he was interested in their future. So you've got a past. We all have. Get in line. We've all done things wrong, and Jesus is not yes, he's interested in that, he cares, but he's not judging us, because he's more interested in what he can do with us and in us for our future. So she's at the well. She's come along to get some water, and Jesus is just standing, and he's so excited. I can imagine him standing there, hopping from one foot to the other. She's nearly here. 10 minutes, she'll be here. 5 minutes, and she'll be here. And he's been longing for all of eternity to meet this child of God, this daughter. He's been waiting to meet her. And he offers her living water. He says, I've got something that's more important for your life than what this well can offer, because it could bring her supernatural life deep on the inside. So I'm only going to read one verse, John 4, verse 14. And Jesus says this, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing to eternal life. Now, this woman had no idea where to find satisfaction. It was one bad decision after another that she made. And no matter how often she tried to fill her life and drink from what the world offered, she was still empty and thirsty on the inside, because only God can fill the void in all of our lives. And Jesus said, I've not only got the answer, I am the answer to everything that you're searching for. I can give you a spring of water that will fill you and quench every thirst. And he's got the same for us. All we have to do is ask. Whatever the need is, just ask. When we get up every morning, our first thought should be, what are we going to do today, Lord? Together. What are we going to do together today? Because I'm with you. I know you're with me, but I just want you to know I'm with you. We're on this journey together. So this week, I just want to encourage you, take time to examine your life and see if you're thirsty in any area. It might not be in all areas. It might just be one area where there's a dryness and you need that thirst quenched. God has living water for you, but you have to seek it. You have to ask him to fill that area. If you're serious about drinking in God, start to worship him. Start to read the word. Start to speak in tongues. They are all keys to opening the floodgates. And then rivers of living water will flow out to all of us, and we won't be thirsty anymore.